Hey, Tenderfoot listeners, we've got a special gift for you this summer. For a limited time, when you sign up for a new annual Tenderfoot Plus subscription or upgrade from your existing monthly plan, you'll receive a complimentary t-shirt of your choosing from the Tenderfoot Shop. We just dropped new designs for Up and Vanished, Culpable, and To Live and Die in LA, plus new radio rental merch, all available for free with annual subscription. Head over to promo.tenderfootplus.com to claim your shirt before we run out. Offer ends July 31st. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, it's Meredith. Just wanted to give you a quick message before we get into this episode. Rattled and Shook will be going on hiatus, so this episode will be the last one for a little while. Now, without further ado, enjoy.
And now, presenting Rattled and Shook.
Hi, I'm Meredith, and this is Rattled and Shook, a podcast where we tune into scary stories. Do you know the end of this?
And our deepest, darkest fears. Oh, gosh. Why are you putting me on the spot
close.
Like that?
And discuss our deepest, darkest fears.
But in a fun way.
Nice.
There we go.
This is my brother.
Hi, I'm Colin. I'm the brother.
I'm the famed brother.
The
elusive brother. No,
I'm maybe only once.
I've probably referenced you like one time. So Mom's already been on this show. Did you know that?
I did. Yeah, I've heard it.
You did the Mother's Day episode?
Yeah.
Oh, you do listen. And Dad's been on the show.
I've also heard that. So I've been wondering when it was going to be my turn.
It's your turn. We're actually in our childhood living room. So if you hear a clock or maybe a screaming baby, that's Colin's baby. But
I think he's down for a nap.
Should we wake him up and scare him?
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you.
Early.
The scary things from our childhood, the things that like really left an impression.
Well, swimming in pools, obviously.
Yeah, for me, clearly swimming in pools was just a traumatic experience.
Yeah, it wasn't just you, actually.
You're also afraid of sharks in pools?
Not sharks, but like deep fish, you know, like
a big bass?
Deeper. Like the thing.
Bigger than a bass?
I don't remember the name of this animal, but it's like an eel that can, you know, like unhinge its jaw.
Oh, a moray eel. They unhinge their jaw.
Yeah, is it moray eels? I think if you go deeper, you find even crazier alien things than that. Like, you know, ridiculous things that you would not expect to be on planet Earth. Like,
gotcha.
Think like in Finding
like Angler.
Yeah, exactly. Think like Finding Nemo when they go into the dark and they're like,
yeah.
Oh, like good feelings gone. Like that's every time we went to like the deep end of the swimming pool when, you know, we were swimming laps growing up. That's what was going through my mind.
It's so funny. Our family was like, you guys love swimming. We're both like, ah!
Exactly. I was swimming as fast as I could back to the shallow end of the pool.
Yeah, and we were good at it because we were surviving.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that and then also, I feel like some of the cartoons we watched, like Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Favorite of my wife's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Poe likes that?
Poe loves Courage the Cowardly Dog. So I rewatched some Courage like a couple of weeks ago just for, you know, old time's sake. And I was like, you know, this is an awesome cartoon. It's a little repetitive, but, you know, we were pretty blessed to have, you know, something as...
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Return the slab.
Wow, that really like stirred something in the recesses of my mind.
Yeah.
Surprised Poe likes that because we all as a family tried watching Widow's Bay last night and Poe was like, this is a little too scary.
Yeah, I mean, I think she used to do better with scary stuff. I mean, Courage is not that scary, but it is uncomfortable, I guess.
Yeah. Wait, so just a second there. Shout out to the show Widow's Bay. It's a comedy horror show that just came out on Apple. So far, really liking it. We're only on episode 2, but I feel like I'm going to go ahead and suggest it because yeah. I love comedy horror.
First episode was good.
Okay, well, I'm going to play a story for you, Colin, that I think you will have some thoughts on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm waiting with bated breath.
And a coffee.
And a coffee, yes.
Notice you didn't make me a coffee.
In late 2008, I was 29 and I had just been given a big promotion at work, moving to California to design live sound mixing consoles for an audio technology company in the Bay Area. I had only been to San Francisco once before. Not knowing anything about the neighborhoods that make up the city, I jumped on a Craigslist to find an apartment. Eventually, I settled on a great little apartment in an area called Seacliff, a modest one-bedroom annex on the lower floor of a much larger house near the sea. It was basically a mansion on four floors, owned by a 90-year-old reclusive retired art dealer. Just him on the top floor and me in the bottom floor. I thought Seacliff was incredible. A beautiful, quiet neighborhood right on the bay with views of the nearby Golden Gate Bridge, made up of immaculate wide avenues lined with palm trees, set before huge houses with local residents including Robin Williams, Sharon Stone, and the mayor of San Francisco. Then I moved in, lowering the land value. It was once I moved into my new apartment that I realized I was the youngest person in a good quarter mile by a good 30 years. All my neighbors were a lot older, all very wealthy and very private. The streets were usually empty, even on weekends, but the area was just so beautiful. I took to going for a run in the evenings. Seacliff had the most beautiful trails that curve around the cliff edges at Land's End. I could leave my front door and run up the wide boulevards, cut onto the trails along the rugged coastline, high above hidden coves and beaches, through the pines and up the winding rocky paths as the sun would set on the Pacific West Coast. It was like a dream. One evening, though, I was running slightly later than usual. Usually, I would be back home before it got dark, but this night, I had worked late and took my run just before twilight. With the sun setting, I ran across the cliff tops and through the pines, cutting across a small golf course that slopes down from the Legion of Honor Museum. As I wound up the path, I noticed some movements in the twilight, maybe 50 meters in front of me. I immediately assumed it was a mountain lion or coyote. I could only just make it out, a dark gray shape, the same color as the background around it. The shape moved quicker now, appearing to be on all fours, fast, across the green in front of me. Its speed was hard to comprehend. The creature must have moved at about 40 miles an hour towards the path I was still running on. I followed the shape with my eyes, still convinced it was a large mammal. However, when it got three quarters of the way across the green, the shape morphed effortlessly into a standing form, like a transformation from four-legged beast to human-like shape, now gliding towards my path. The shape slowed up to a stroll as I approached it, as if it had been watching me, and it was coming closer now, purposefully, to take a better look. The whole movement across the green must have only taken a few seconds, barely enough time for me to comprehend it. I'm calling it a shape because it wasn't really a shape, not a physical shape, not a dark cloud or smoke or even a transparent projection. It was as if it was made out of the background. I could only tell it was there because the background was moving, affected by its presence, giving it an outline. Imagine it's possible to cut a shape out of a background and then paste it back on top, like slightly bigger, slightly wrong, giving you that strong visual sense of a physical entity in the space. The closest thing I can use to describe it is the alien from the Predator movies. You know how the Predator alien appears while cloaked? Like, you can tell the alien is there simply because the background is affected by its shape, giving it form. Well, this form was tall, maybe 7 feet. Slim, with skinny arms barely possible to make out. Faceless, with a stretched head, wider at the top than at the bottom, longer and thinner than that of a person. I literally ran right past this shape, wide-eyed, wide-mouthed, in shock, turning my head towards it as I passed. Then, looking back up the path, I saw two more of these humanoid shapes standing on the edge of the green, waiting for me to come closer. Again, I ran right past them, open-mouthed, turning to the right to look at them in amazement. As I did, one of the shapes started to move with me, slowly at first, and then keeping pace, with its head slightly cocked towards me, seeming to look right at me, albeit without eyes, moving its arms in time with mine. Its actions were all overpronounced, mimicking, almost mocking me. It was at this time that my senses came back and fear and adrenaline kicked in. I was hugely tired at this point of my run, but I got a huge burst of energy. Forgetting my aching limbs, I just sprinted up the path, away from the shapes, out onto the dimly lit road and down towards the residential street as fast as I could, without a second look back. In the following days, I told my friends. One friend, a psychiatrist, coincidentally, told me it must have been a hallucination. He asked if I had been drinking too much coffee. I did drink a lot of coffee at work, to be honest. But I don't for a minute believe that this was a caffeine-induced hallucination. If it was a mental projection, how come the hallucinations were anchored to a single location instead of in my field of vision wherever I looked? How come the hallucinations didn't continue as I ran down the street or later in my apartment, keeping me up, tripping me into the night? I've reflected on it since, but I can't land on an explanation. I have no idea what they were. I can't find any similar account. I sometimes think it could have been three people in some sort of experimental invisibility suits. Could it be possible that a progressive tech unicorn or black ops military contractor had designed a highly secretive new wearable technology? I mean, after all, this was the Bay Area. Perhaps it was a lightweight set of overalls made of a material that can render continuous, uninterrupted visual images, like thousands of wafer-thin iPhone screens sewn together. Perhaps interleaved with thousands of tiny cameras capturing the surroundings and projecting them onto the clothing, rendering the wearer invisible. Perhaps the suit wearers all needed to be 7 feet tall for some reason. Perhaps they couldn't quite believe I could see them, or they wanted to tease me. However, it doesn't explain how one of the suit wearers came from all fours to standing upright at such speed across the green. I can't really comment on the paranormal. I don't believe in ghosts or accounts of alien abduction. I do believe that many, even most, people have experiences they can't explain. Either because they can't interpret some behavior of our own senses, or we don't have the scientific vocabulary yet to describe some natural wonders of our universe. We jump to provide explanations where one might not yet exist. All I do know is this strange, frightening experience happened to me just once, for a few seconds, and never again.
Thank you, Al, for sending in that story. So, Colin, you work in tech. Explain this.
Well, I actually remember reading about, quote-unquote, invisibility cloaks very similar to what was described in that story, without the seven-foot-tall part, but stitched-together screens projecting what's behind you. I'm pretty sure somebody has tried this. Whether or not it actually exists anywhere today, I don't know. But obviously, you just combine that with a, you know, humanoid robot, and then you get your 40 mile per hour you know, moving from all fours to upright. And those, I think, are, you know, what, walking around the streets among us at this point.
Yeah, at this point, I'm seeing humanoid robots every day. One just tried to board an aircraft.
Yeah, they won the Beijing Marathon a couple months ago.
No way.
I think so, yeah. It actually beat the best human time. There was, I think...
Surprise.
Yeah, so I've also been told that the spider designs are even faster, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, and to just to let you guys know, in case you don't know, obviously these tech billionaires and tech corporations are building humanoid robots, but they have also built them in, like, large spider form because they're, like, more efficient
the
and
spider
faster.
Bots are even better. They're just a little too creepy for society, right?
Yeah, imagine a gigantic spider that can move faster than you can ever possibly move coming towards you in your house to go get your laundry.
Invisibly, in fact.
Invisibly? Oh, right. If we project this LED screen technology onto it.
Yeah. You're just running down the street and then suddenly a camouflaged spider runs at you at 40 miles an hour, 7 feet tall.
That might unseat my fear of pool sharks.
This is the world we're building. It's going to be very, you know, very
this
exciting.
This is the world you're building, Colin.
Oh, I can't. Fortunately, I'm not responsible for this.
He doesn't do robotics.
Please do not complain to me about the 7 foot tall robots. I do think that the Bay Area is exactly the place where something like that could happen to you, and you could wonder to yourself, well, could it actually have been real?
Do you think that this is paranormal, or do you think that this is more Bay Area tech mania, technology that's being tested at night?
I guess as a scientist, I don't go to the paranormal as my first explanation for anything.
You're off the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And disqualified. I think that the Bay Area definitely does have experiments happening that would be very hard for the layperson to understand. And there is a history of, you know, occasionally putting them in plain sight. I mean, people seeing really strange aircraft designs, you know, flying over the bay, rocket launches. I'm in Texas now, and occasionally some of the SpaceX launches will perplex people. They'll be wondering why something is, you know, glowing strangely up in the sky, and it's SpaceX, but they think it's, you know, an alien or something. So yeah, I mean, I definitely think that strange occurrences in the Bay Area could be technologies being tested out. Absolutely.
Wow. I don't know what's scarier. Actually, I think it's tech.
Yeah, right. I mean, in some ways, if you think that perhaps it couldn't have been real and it was just, you know, you drinking too much coffee, you can go on with your life. If you come to the conclusion like, oh no, this is just part of the world now.
Yeah, maybe in a couple of years, this story is going to be like this wouldn't even be sent in.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the humanoids are coming.
Yeah, check out those videos, guys. They're really good. They're getting better.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a secret. I mean, I think Tesla is retooling their Fremont factory to make humanoid robots instead of the Model S and X now. So, you know,
oh,
there we go.
The clock chimes 11. Ominous.
Almost the witching hour.
As you said, the humanoids are coming.
Yeah. You know, of course, it'll just be, you know, good for all of us, right? They'll do all the chores and never murder us in our sleep. So,
well, I hope we program that way, Colin.
Yeah, or form a robot army to combat other robot armies.
Yes, lots to look forward to in the coming days.
Yes. Yeah.
Now time for some ads. Let's tune in for another story.
Hold up.
In fall of 2023, my best friend and I were doing morning walks before work every day as part of a challenge we were doing. We were walking at around 4:10 every morning. On this particular morning, nothing was different. We both got up, met on the stairs, started our walk. The street our apartment complex is on has a few other apartment complexes on it as well. And right behind them is a lake with a trail that wraps around it. We would walk about a quarter of the trail and turn off and walk behind some of the other apartments, then loop our way to the main road and back home. This one particular morning, we were walking the trail as usual, and as we were walking, I see a figure in the distance. It wasn't super uncommon for us to see the occasional runner or walker in the morning, but as my eyes adjusted and I looked a little closer, the figure looked like an old 1940s cartoon ghost. It also started looking like it was glitching, and I couldn't tell if it was walking towards us or away from us. My best friend and I stopped, and she whispered to me, "Do you see that?" And all of a sudden, this thing turns around and starts sprinting at us, full speed. There's no way this person or thing could have heard us whispering because we were about, 100 feet away. As it's running towards us, we start running down this steep hill to get into the parking lot of one of the other apartment complexes on our street. Once we're finally down in the parking lot, we could see the trail from there, and we never saw anyone or anything run by us. As we were discussing it later that day, my friend was talking about how weird it was that it didn't look human, but it looked like an old cartoon ghost, like a vintage cartoon ghost. I hadn't told her yet, but that's exactly what I'd seen as well. We didn't already discuss what we'd perceived at all. It was hands down one of the weirdest experiences, and safe to say, we haven't walked that trail in the morning ever since. Firstly, thank you, Nina, for sending in that story. What'd you think, Colin?
Well, maybe this is an embarrassing admission, but when I think of a 1940s cartoon ghost, I have like spooky, scary skeletons in my head. And so to some extent, I'm like, wait, hang on. Like a cartoon ghost can't be running. Like it wouldn't have legs. But maybe it does have legs. So maybe I just don't have a good image of what a cartoon ghost should be.
Insert some spooky, scary skeletons music right here.
Shivers down your spine.
But yeah, I think I imagine, have you seen that video where it's a clip of an old cartoon and it has like a man singing, but like he lifts up his skirt a little bit and then he has like funky legs and it's all really like gangly and you've definitely seen this. It's like
okay. This
freaky looking like crooner ghost that's just kind of like
so the legs are altogether way too noodly. They're
yeah, it's very noodly.
Now when I dive, that mean my straight leg riches.
I'm gonna try to post on our Instagram the video of what I'm imagining.
If I saw that, I think I'd be so confused. I'd just be so fascinated to get a better look. You know, it might get really close to me before I would be like, hang on, I should really not be waiting for its arrival.
I don't know. I feel like I could see you running away, not to out you as a cautious person.
Fair. Yeah.
Fair. Yeah. You're trying to be over here all tough on Rattled and Shook. Meanwhile, I grew up with you, so I know your true essence.
Yeah.
We'll be back after a quick break.
As a young adult, finding the right path to your future can feel overwhelming. It starts with Europe United's tuition-free job training program, Career Pathways. If you're without a bachelor's degree, but have a high school diploma or GED, you can get skills-first training to succeed in the industries you're passionate about, all while earning a weekly educational stipend to offset basic expenses. From there, you'll have access to internships and hands-on experiences with Fortune 500 companies. And with Europe United's job placement services and personalized coaching and mentorship, you can put your knowledge, skills, and most importantly, confidence into practice. Apply to Europe United today and take the first step toward achieving the career you want. Visit yearup.org to learn more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, we're back, and I bet you probably know that this is coming, but I wanted to ask you about your irrational fear. Do you have one?
For sure. I mean, I mentioned one of these earlier. I have my own version of the
pool.
Past that, I still have, and this it's sort of ironic because I live in a part of Texas where like really large insects are common. But I am still just not at peace with this. You know, there's a wasp here called a tarantula hawk.
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up in New Orleans, there were wasps around and they were annoying, but ultimately pretty harmless. And then I remember being bitten by horseflies just mercilessly one day. Like I was just minding my own business and this horsefly would not leave me alone. I was probably, you know, 6 years old, and that I think probably set me on my path of like really not liking larger, more aggressive insects. Fast forward to today, where, you know, I thought, okay, well, I grew up with this and I can handle large wasps. Mm-hmm. And like, one of my first experiences living in Central Texas was a wasp that was probably like three times bigger than anything I've ever seen anywhere else in the world.
This is the tarantula wasp. They're freaking huge.
There's multiple levels here of fears, like, you know, paper wasps. And, you know, red wasps, which can certainly be aggressive and sting you, but if they do, it's no big deal. Then there are cicada killer wasps, which are substantially larger, unlikely to sting you. But if they do, it's pretty darn painful and they prey on cicadas, which we have plenty of. And then even rarer still is the tarantula hawk, which is a like all black wasp with red wings. They're almost a little blue in the sunlight. Like they look mean.
Mm-hmm.
They're interested in tarantulas, which tells you something about how metal they are that they hunt.
Yeah, this is a pretty metal bug.
Yeah. And they have one of the most painful stings of any insect on Earth. And they rarely sting, thankfully. But I see about one or two of these every year. And every time I do, it never gets, you know, any more comfortable because this thing is about the size of my palm before you include the wings. That is, it's very large. And, you know, the whole time I'm thinking about how if it stings me, it's basically going to paralyze whatever part of the body it stings for, you know, 5 minutes and I'll just be screaming in pain. So I leave them a wide berth.
Do you know what animal or, you know, creature is the deadliest to humans? I bet you can guess.
Oh, I mean, I guess it's something really mundane. I don't know. Maybe it's something weird like hippopotamus.
No, it's a mosquito.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think the breakdown, I think, is like mosquito, then technically like humans, and then deer because of automobile accidents is somewhere in the top. But if you don't count that, then it's like mosquitoes, humans, and then it's like, I think the wasp bee territory is kind of medium high, but snakes and dogs. Dogs is a sad one.
Yeah, dogs. Yeah, yeah. After I moved here, maybe 3 months after I moved here, there was somebody who was doing tree work who was, you know, tethered to the tree. You know, they were tied to the tree so that if they fell, they wouldn't, you know, fall to the ground. Mm-hmm. but they disturbed a wasp nest. Oh. They started to get stung. They lost their grip and ended up hanging from the tree, and they died from how many wasp stings they received.
Oh my God, that is horrific. Well, on that note, one more irrational fear right before we go, because I think it's a nice way to cap this off. So I'm going to read you one, Colin. This one's from Preksha. Preksha writes, I have an irrational fear of going into my parents' bedroom when the lights are turned off. Ever since I saw that Courage the Cowardly Dog episode wherein a demonic spirit enters into Muriel when she buys a new mattress, the first thing that always comes to mind while entering my parents' room is that something is waiting there for me. Kind of like when you're scared of looking through a peephole because you anticipate an eye staring back at you. So I would always look down while entering the room just to turn the lights on. My fear probably stems from the fact that whenever I slept in my parents' bed when I was sick as a child, I would always experience nightmares. I could feel someone or something's eyes on me. Also, their headboard looks a lot like Muriel's. That one's a little special for you and Poe, because you already brought up Courage the Cowardly Dog. It's so weird because I was already planning on reading this irrational fear to you. Do you remember that episode?
I have to admit, I don't remember that specific episode, but probably in part because I actually genuinely found Courage the Cowardly Dog to be a little bit scary growing up, so I can totally relate. So, you know, if this was part of a scary enough episode, I probably just never got the whole way through. So,
finally, admitting that you would run if the ghost came towards you.
Yeah.
Do you remember sleeping in our parents' room when we had like nightmares or there was a really bad thunderstorm?
Well, I remember knocking on their door, which now that I'm a father, I'm expecting, I'm very curious to discover how it's going to be on the other side of that. You know, I'm expecting to pay back, you know, like all the karma for all the times that I woke our parents up.
I'd like to ask mom and dad who had more nightmares. I'm pretty sure I actually already have, and I'm pretty sure mom said you.
I believe it. I remember, you know how you can get those, we always call them bloopers, but I don't know if they have another name.
Like, yeah, like floaters in your vision.
Yeah, you see, you know, spots over your vision.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the first times where I experienced that, and it freaked me out so much. I remember knocking on the door because everywhere I looked, there was this black floater following me, and I couldn't tell that it wasn't a real thing actually chasing me everywhere I went.
That's so cute. New fear unlocked, my own eyeball. I just remember going in our parents' room sometimes, like with a nightmare or there's a bad thunderstorm, and opening the door and like seeing you already there and being like, yeah, I'm not a baby. We're all having a really scary night.
Yeah, and I remember you sleeping, you know, like always just being asleep. So I guess you were the brave one in the family.
Look,
I guess.
Not to brag, I'm pretty brave in this family full of relative wimps.
Rattled and Shook is a Tenderfoot TV production in partnership with Odyssey. Showrunner and host is Meredith Stedman. Lead producer is Steven Perez. Executive producers are Donald Albright and Payne Lindsay. Editing by Steven Perez, Meredith Stedman, and Audrey Sliger. Sound design by Steven Perez, Dayton Cole, and Cooper Skinner. Mix master by Steven Perez. Assistant producer is Jordan Foxworthy. Original score by Makeup and Vanity Set, including our ending theme, The Phantom Hour. Original artwork by Puppy Teeth Studios. Follow us on social media at Rattled and Shook.
Most Americans stop using GLP-1 weight loss injections within a year and often regain the weight? There's a better way. Try Almased. the scientifically backed protein shake that naturally supports healthy, lasting weight loss. It helps boost your body's GLP-1 levels, preserves muscle, and keeps you energized, making it the perfect nutritional companion to support your weight loss journey. Join millions around the world making Almased part of their daily routine. Start today at almased.com.